fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And a radio.
Oh, 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 oh. Yeah! Woo! Happy Friday, everybody! That's right. It's your boy John Reap here, back for another awesome, amazing episode of the Fried Pod. Don't eat Tide Pods. Listen to the Fried Pod. Well, I am back here in good old Hickory, North Carolina. My neck is sore from screaming that like that. Every time I do it, I do like shake my head a little bit. It's like involuntary. Anyway, back here. At mom and dad's house, made the move successfully. And this is going to be a great episode. We're going to do an interview. I sit down with my dad, David Reap, to talk about that little trip, that journey. So you get to hear him. And also today's kind of a sad day, kind of a sad Friday, a sad Saturday. I don't know. Sad day. That's how some people say Saturday. I've heard it before. I guess it's pronounced Saturday. Saturday, because it's a T. But I hear Saturday all the time with a D. Saturday. Like, you couldn't pick a Saturday after the Friday. Fried pot. Because, well, rest in peace. One, Burt Reynolds has passed away. 82 years young. Died of a heart attack in Florida. And I mean, come on. Could you pick a better sort of southern? Well, he wasn't. I guess Florida counts as southern. I mean, if you look at the map, that is southern. That's about as southern as it gets. But he didn't really talk with a southern accent or anything. But, I mean, his roles are iconic. I mean, let's go down the IMDb page. You got Deliverance, The Longest Yard, Smokey and the Bandit, you know. Boogie Nights. I mean, think of it. Tons of stuff. The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. So underrated, that movie. Dom DeLuise steals a lot of the scenes in that movie. And, of course, the Cannonball Run. You know, tons of stuff that Burt Reynolds. I mean, I don't have to sit here and tell you. I mean, we all know Burt Reynolds. I guess he just passed away. Today's Friday. I guess yesterday he passed away. So RIP, Burt Reynolds, everybody here at the Fried Pod. Hope you're doing well up there, you know, with that awesome mustache. God, he had one of the best mustaches in the business. He kind of made it cool to have a mustache. Because, you know, well, he was the sexiest man alive. Let's think of the girls he's been with. Lonnie Anderson, wow, big one. Sally Field, wow, big one. Died of a heart attack, very sad. And I was just thinking of some of the iconic clips. Now, I pulled this one, and he's not even in this, but he was in the movie Deliverance, right? And I believe in an article somewhere that just came out because of his death, and I'm trying to skim through here. Because Deliverance, okay, so here we go. Deliverance, infamous for its uncut 10-minute hillbilly male rape scene, squeal like a pig, was nominated for 3 Academy Awards but came away empty. It lost to The Godfather in Best Picture Battle. But he said, Burt Reynolds said, if I had to put only one of my movies in a time capsule, it would be Deliverance. I don't know if it's the best acting I've done, but it's the best movie I've ever been in. It proved I could act not only to the public, but me. So therefore, I figured in honor of Burt Reynolds and that movie, we would take a walk down memory lane here and hear a little bit from that infamous, as they say, male rape scene from Deliverance. Let's see if we can hear this.
Louder. Louder. Get down there, boy. As one redneck just laughing at the other one. Get them britches down. Oh, gosh.
That boy. You better dash. Come on, squeal. Squeal.
Ah. Oh, no. I don't think I want to. This other redneck's just laughing at him. And John Voight can't get off the tree because his neck's tied to it. All right. I've had enough of that. I don't know why Burt Reynolds would be proud of that one, but ashamed of Boogie Nights. I'm just because of that scene, but let's not get into that. This is a sad day after Friday because of Burt Reynolds died. So there you go. All right, well, let's get to the interview with one David Reap, my father. Here, check out this awesome interview with my dad, y'all. Sitting here with David Reap and Casa de Reap, not Casa de Reap, Los Angeles. We're talking the new Casa de, well, new for me, Casa de Reap. Day is in David and Betty Reap. This is their house. Sitting with David Reap. Hey, Dad.
Hey.
Talk right into that microphone.
Okay, I will.
Plant it right here on your chin like that.
I got it right up here like an ice cream cone.
There you go. Looks good.
Yeah.
So let's inform the people the journey I just made with you. Just moved back here. I flew Dad out.
First class.
Oh, that's right.
First class.
How was that experience?
Yeah, it was something else.
Is it the first time you've been in first class?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I remember first class many years ago walking through it to get to regular coach.
Right.
And those people, they had the most luxurious looking seats, and there was plenty of room and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This time, my first class experience, although it was still first class, was not what I had envisioned from 15 years ago.
Days of yore.
Yeah, things have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first class now is a little smooched up a little bit.
Is that right?
A little bit.
I'm curious, were there two seats on each side and an aisle in between?
Yes.
So you walk down the aisle, two seats on the right, two seats on the left.
Yes.
Okay. And then when you kept going in coach, it's three and three. Is that right?
Probably. I didn't go back there.
You didn't have to.
I was.
That's for the peons.
That was beneath me.
That's in first class.
That's right.
Still too tight. I got to get you extra first next time. First class. Premium class.
Would that be in front of the pilot?
That's a private plane.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I've only been on a couple of those.
All right. Well, it was good. It was nice, though. It was
nice. Okay, good. Flew Dad out one way first class.
Because
I knew we were driving back together across the country. And this, okay, so I moved. Basically, let's even backtrack. So I've had this 2000 Mercury Mountaineer that you gave me kindly enough. Back in 2012, 2013, I drove that right when I got divorced. You said, I got to give back the Lexus. So, because I was leasing that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be carless. He goes, well, you can have this one. You just got to get it out there. So, what I did was I pretty much booked myself all over the country. Well, not all over, but on the way from North Carolina to California. Had a gig in Tennessee, had a gig in Texas. So, I kind of chopped that up, that drive, with gigs. But I drove it all the way across the country, 2000. And it's been sitting there ever since last week, I guess it was, last week and a half ago, when we drove it right back.
And you said you hardly used it while it was there.
I hardly did. It sat in the garage because, mostly, well, I'm gone a lot on the road, so I didn't have a chance to drive it because I wasn't there. Secondly, at nighttime, if I am there, I'm taking Ubers because, if I want to have a drink, I don't want to drive.
Yeah.
So I don't.
That's smart.
Yeah. So, and there are Ubers everywhere in Los Angeles. Yep. I think there's one driver in Hickory. Yeah. But anyway, it didn't get much miles on it. It doesn't have much miles on it now, not for a 2000.
If somebody's going to get a DWI or a DUI, depending on what part of the country you're in, for driving while intoxicated, it needs to be your Uber driver.
Yeah. Yeah, that should be a whole nother service. Yeah, drunk Uber.
Yes.
Old Druber.
Yeah, right.
Call up Duber. Yeah. Let's get a drunk Uber, Duber. But so we it sat there forever. And then drove it right back. And that was an experience. I thought, Dad, you offered your help. You said, hey, I would love to come out there. and help you.
I did.
And what was your experience? I mean, you want to start from the beginning? Like, class was great, not that great. Still too tight.
It's still good.
Did you have some warm nuts?
I did. That's the strangest thing. Ashtray-looking thing full of warm nuts. Why would you warm your nuts? I don't understand
Why would you not warm your nuts? Did you not like the nut warm?
Well.
Or were they delicious?
What I don't like is talking about it this way. The fruit in the tray was nice.
The fruit in the tray?
Yeah, the fruit of the trees, or the nuts. Ain't no way out of this, is it? They're nuts.
Oh, I thought you said fruit of the tray.
Tree.
Okay, so I don't know if you had a tray of nuts with fruit in it.
Yeah, like almonds coming from a tree. Pecans.
Sure.
Walnuts.
But you don't, you've had them warm before. Mom has roasted them in the oven. Why is this odd to you that you would have warm nuts? I know you've had them before.
I was on a plane.
Yeah, well, they got microwaves and stuff.
Okay. It was just a little different.
So we like that, I guess.
Oh, and another thing, they offered me booze.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I said, no, thank you. I took the high road.
You did.
Thinking, I'm not going to pay for this.
Well, it's free.
Well, I didn't know that. The guy beside me knew that.
Man, I should have told you that. You didn't know?
The guy beside me knew that, and he got snockered.
Would you have had at least one if it was free?
Yeah, I probably would have.
Oh,
I'm a tight
one. Oh, now I feel horrible. Oh, I was hoping you would take advantage of all things first class.
Yeah, well, I thought
you didn't have one drink.
Yeah, being raised how I have, mm-hmm. You're conservative in you try to keep from being taken advantage of.
Sure.
So this is my little wall, you know. No, I don't think I want one. Mm-hmm. But thank you anyway.
I know you're going to charge me
extra. That's right.
Because we're up here in the air.
You're going to sneak us on my credit card somehow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That makes me upset about... I'm mad at myself for that one. I just assumed you would know that.
No, why? I mean...
Why would you? Exactly. That's my fault. All right. So anyway, we get to LAX. I pick you up in the Mercury Mountaineer.
You did? And we
got in the car and we drove to my house, my old house.
Well, everything from LAX until I saw your mama's face again, it's pretty much blank.
Yeah. Well, that happened really quick.
It did.
And it was like blinders on work time, mm-hmm. you know? And I was thinking, like, well, we'll work a little bit, and maybe we'll go out and do something fun. But it was pretty much sun up, sun down, working. And then we were tired.
Something I want to say to your friends that listen to this.
Sure.
That may not know this or expect it. I was shocked to find that my son was as organized as he was. It was overwhelming. Every little towel was turned and cornered and cubby-holed, and everything was pressed. Beds were made up, and it was just his place was as neat as a pin.
Yeah.
Was not expecting that.
Well, lots have changed in the 26 years that I've lived here.
Yeah, I was still expecting to see what I saw when I left you at college.
Oh, yeah. What was that like?
Yeah.
I didn't really make my bed back then.
Yeah.
I wasn't like an organized neat freak.
Pretty much had to take a square-nosed shovel to scrape things off the floor to get you to move.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm pretty clean and neat, organized.
You are. I'm very proud of that.
I've talked about this on the podcast before, but step one of the day, make the bed.
Make the bed.
Make the bed. That's task one.
That's so important.
Task one. Then you got one task down. It's like, check that off the list. Mm-hmm. What's next? And then it just happens. It snowballs from there.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, we got there and started boxing things up the next day.
Yeah, but did we do anything that night? I think we went straight back and ate some cookies. Did we go out to eat? We didn't eat anywhere.
I think
we
just went to bed.
I think, yeah, it was late.
Yeah.
So we just got back and then said, good night, sayonara, see you in the morning. And then it was go time.
Yeah.
We started putting stuff in boxes, and then at some point, I'd already had a lot of stuff in boxes before you got there.
Because
I sort of like, okay, I had piles of trash and then Goodwill and then what I'm keeping. But then we were like, okay, we got to figure something out. Am I getting a U-Haul that I'm driving, or am I getting a U-Haul that we're going to attach to the back of the Mercury Mountaineer, or this third option, which we had to do, which we didn't even know was an option, but that was day one, is go to get some breakfast at Jinky's Studio Cafe and talk about the game plan.
Yeah. Once you decide what you're going to do, the rest of it's just getting it done.
Right. And Dad, so
that's what we do.
So we went to one of my favorite breakfast places, which is walking distance from my old house, old Casa de Reap. Studio Cafe Jinkies, and they got a great brunch, great breakfast stuff, and Dad, rightfully so, has earned this right. You've been around as long as he has, and maybe your vision's not the best. You don't have time looking at that tiny font on those menus.
No,
gloss.
You just tell them what you want.
It's like 8 pages. You sit down. You go, thank you. I'll have scrambled eggs. I'll have wheat toast, sausage patties, and some hash browns.
Yes,
and they're like. And the guy's like, he's pretty much.
Is that a number one or a number two?
His Spanglish was very, very Spanish thick, Mexican heavy. So both of you had a hard time understanding each other.
Yeah.
And I said, Dad, they don't have hash browns. I said, he's going to take tater tots. And then I said, we're going to get we'll do the sausage, but it's not one. You think sausage patties out here, and rightfully so. You think Jimmy Dean tiny little patties.
Yeah.
But you got. You want to tell them what you got?
Well, I got one size of a cup saucer. I mean, it was huge.
A cup saucer.
Yeah, a saucer that you would set your cup in.
Yeah. All right. Right. Like this size of this coaster right here.
No, it's bigger than that.
Bigger than that.
A saucer is bigger than a coaster.
Gotcha. So maybe it kind of looked like a miniature cow patty.
Yeah, it was huge.
Like a calf patty.
It was a little spicy, but it was good. I enjoyed it.
It was good.
Yeah,
I had a bite. Okay, yep. Then it was like, let's come up with a game plan. I said, all right, I was going to donate my furniture to Habitat for Humanity.
He loaded up a truckload of stuff for Habitat for Humanity.
Yes.
They took half a day loading his stuff out of his house.
Yeah. Couches, sofas, desks,
chairs,
tables, chairs, like everything except for my bed. Now, I got a very nice bed. It's an expensive bed that my ex-wife demanded that we get. So since I spent money on it, I was doing everything I could to keep this thing because I do like this bed. It's a California King Tempur-Pedic adjustable. So the back goes up and the legs goes up and it vibrates. Oh, and it's heaven. You get in there and you don't want to go anywhere.
It was a big bed.
It's a nice bed.
I slept in it the first night.
You did. That's right. I gave Dad my own bed the first night.
It was good.
You liked it, right?
Yep.
So I go, all right. But okay, so if we're going to keep this, okay, so let's weigh the options here. If Habitat for Humanity, first of all, we didn't even know if they were going to take everything because they were like, well, how many levels do you have? 3 levels? Okay, we won't go up the second floor, and we also need you to unscrew everything. So I'm just thinking, I don't even know what they're going to take, right? So we'd have to assess what's going in a trailer and what's not, because we don't even know what's going to Habitat for Humanity.
All right.
So lots of decisions to be made.
It was.
Over breakfast at Jinkies. So then we realized, well, they're going to take all of it except for my bed. And then I'm thinking, well, I was trying to sell the bed. I was trying to, because I don't want to move that thing. I was looking at that bed thinking, that is a project. That's an all-day thing. That's scraping a wall. That's like hitting your shin on something. That's us falling downstairs, yelling at each other.
Yeah, we spent a good couple of hours wrestling that thing down from the third story to the trailer in the back.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, why don't you tell them about the trailer?
I'm going to.
Okay.
I'm getting there. I'm basically doing the whole, I'm going in order of things that happened. So once we realized that we were going to keep the bed, then we got to go, well, let's go to U-Haul and let's see what our options are. A, are we going to get a U-Haul that we drive? If we do that, now that's more gas money. That's us in different cars.
Yeah.
That's us, probably having to get hotel rooms and stuff. Now, if we get a trailer, then we can save money there. We got to figure out what size we're going to get, yada, yada, yada. We go to the U-Haul. We walk in there. I go, yes, moving to California, would like to get a trailer. He goes, hope you don't need it till October. ladies and gentlemen, you cannot get a U-Haul leaving California.
Nope.
It's not available.
It's not there.
Not an option.
They've got some. I saw some.
But that was reserved for other people.
Yeah, but you couldn't have them.
You got to make your reservation. That's
it's
right.
It's not for you.
Mm-mm. No.
Those are for other people.
That's right. Now, we could have rented a U-Haul that we drive, right? But then it's like, well, we don't know if we need all that. Plus, Dad had a great game plan. As soon as he got there, he's like, I got an idea. We get a trailer. We put all your crap in a trailer. And the back of the Mercury Mountaineer, we lay the seats down, and we make a bed. And we take turns, shifts. We take turns driving. One person sleeping, one person driving. We'll knock this thing out and, you know, real quick. I was like, that's a genius idea. So then we're thinking, oh, well, we cannot get a U-Haul. So there goes that idea. Can't get one. Dad goes, let's figure this out. Let's see here. Well, hell, we'll buy one. I was like, buy one? I didn't even thought of that. That possibility did not even enter my brain. And I've never bought a trailer in my life.
And you can't buy one in Los Angeles. You have to drive to Fillmore.
That's right.
California.
An hour to north. Buy one. An hour north. And Dad looked it up online. He's like, oh, here's one. Brand new. $4,100. I'm getting it.
Yeah.
I said, okay, well, I have an audition to go to. Mm-hmm. And then I went to my audition, and back in heat, he pulls up later into the brand new shiny silver trailer.
Put on the charge card.
Put on the charge card, and then the agreement was, because it was going to cost me around $2,000, $2,200 to rent a trailer or a U-Haul anyway.
Yeah.
He goes, well, we'll split the cost. That's the same amount you would have paid anyway, plus I get a brand new trailer for half the price. And when we get back to Hickory, we'll sell it, make our money back, and until you get your new place, you'll have free storage.
Yeah.
So, because we also thought about renting public storage out here, but now I don't even have to do that.
No need.
So.
And you had an amazing amount of stuff to bring back after you gave everything away.
Right. I know.
Where did all that stuff come from?
Good. I have no. A lot of it was from the garage. Because you put stuff in the garage, you forget about it.
Yeah.
And we started going to the house. We're in the garage for, like, that was another day and a half stuff. But got a lot of files, you know. What else did we put? Just a lot of knickknacks and doodads.
Leg stretching
kitchen
machines.
Stuff. Yeah.
A ladder.
Ladder. Dad wanted
a huge
ladder.
I couldn't believe he had that ladder.
Well, I had high ceilings.
It was
back.
A 10-foot step ladder.
Yeah. Well, you have to. I got high ceiling. I had high ceilings, so I had to get to that. The very top of that. To change bulbs, you got to get a big ladder.
You never did that stuff. You always had somebody come do it.
Well, they need a ladder. I don't know if they're showing up with their own ladder. You know. But no, I've done it. I've did it a couple of times. I've barely gotten that ladder, maybe three times in 13 years.
I know. Well, it's coming
But
home.
Now you got a brand new ladder.
No, you're going to need one.
You don't want it?
Well, it's, you know, I don't get up on ladders no more.
It's our ladder.
I'm too old to get up on a ladder, so it's going with you to your new house.
Okay. Deal. I'll keep it then.
Okay.
I had a lot of crap that I didn't even think about, but we packed it all up, including the bed, into the trailer.
And your Chuck Norris.
Oh, that's right. My leg stretcher. That's what machine. I was thinking of. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, if you know anything about me, you also know that I am a ninja.
I am
a certified orange belt ginger ninja. I got the orange belt because that's like a black belt for gingers.
Yeah.
I go, that's all I need to know. So anyway, so there was a phase where I loved that stuff, and I had a leg stretcher, right? Chuck Norris, I think it was.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was Bill Superfoot Wallace. No, one of those dudes.
No, Chuck Norris is one that advertised it.
Did he?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember this specifically.
So you get on this machine, you put your legs in it, and you crank it, and your legs just split out, and it's supposed to help you kick higher and, you know, stretch you out. And I came back here after my divorce to visit you guys, and I was like, do I still have that dang thing? Because I was starting to get, like, back into health and fitness, you know. And he gets in the attic. I dragged that thing from the attic down in 2013. Got out here and played with it. And I thought, you know what? I want this. I'm going to bring this to Los Angeles.
You paid
went to UPS and paid I don't know how much money. Because it's not light. It's heavy.
No, it's not light.
To ship it to Los Angeles, where I used it five more times before it winded up in the garage neglected. But now it is in the trailer neglected. So I guess I'm stuck with that thing.
You're stuck with it.
Yeah. But we had a good time.
We did.
We moved everything back. There wasn't a lot of, I'm trying to think of a, in LA, we didn't do much. I mean, we went to, you got to hang out with Kyle one night. Yeah. You met Kyle.
Yeah,
finally.
Kyle. Yeah. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. I love him. We went to have steak at a place called La La's. And then we went and had pie at a place called 4 and 20.
We did.
Yeah.
I had chocolate cream pie.
Yeah, chocolate cream pie. I had pecan pie, if you're counting, keeping scores at home, pecan pie. And if you really want to know, Kyle had vanilla. Coconut and banana.
Yeah.
Pie. So anyway, now let's get to the good stuff. Oh, now we are... We're packed up. We're ready to roll.
We're ready to.
We are.
We got some gas. We're leaving.
We got the bedding in the back. I said, Dad, I think it's best if you drive out of here first because I've never driven with the trailer. You know, Dad's good at this stuff. He's like, yeah, I think that's a great idea. So he drives out. We're going for a long time until we need gas again. And we stop at a place somewhere in a desert. When we got out of that car, I want to say it was probably 215 degrees Celsius, dry heat.
Yeah.
My point is, it's very hot.
It was very hot. And I wanted a sandwich. I wanted something to eat.
Yeah.
I got a drink, and I went to the food section, the cool food section. And
yeah, pre-made sandwiches.
Everybody is familiar with these little triangle sandwiches. They cut them in half and put them in a little plastic thing. And you can see through them. And they're, you know, they're soft white bread sandwiches.
Right. And we're in a hurry. We're trying to get back home.
Yeah, well, I mean, why would you freeze that? I did not know that. But toward the desert, they freeze everything. So I guess the sandwich man doesn't come around but once a week or so.
Yeah, it's like, crap. I guess.
But this sandwich was hard as a brick. Well, I did not know that until I got out in the car with it. And
frozen solid.
So I had a sandwich popsicle.
He had a...
Because I was hungry.
An ice cream ham sandwich. And here's the thing. You think if you get that after you hit it on the steering wheel a couple times and it's as hard as a hockey puck, you think to yourself, well, I'm going to go back in there and get another sandwich.
Dad's no. Like,
no, I'm going to eat
it. Wait, this thing, boy.
He ate it. I heard it crunching. And we got back on the road. Yep. And it was go time. And we drove. Dad drove as long as he could the first batch. About 60 miles an hour, would you say, was
the
average.
We were both awake. We hadn't cycled yet into sleep mode, drive mode.
Right. We were just like still
and
had
because
to,
of that, we were both sitting in the front seat.
Yes.
And eventually, we both just got so tired, we had to sleep a little bit.
Right.
So we got that out of the way, and then we started driving. He would drive, and I would sleep.
Right.
We'd stop and get some gas, and I would drive, and he would sleep. So it was pretty much a tank full at a time.
Right.
Until we got almost home. And then you started driving two tank fulls.
Yeah. I was like, I could tell. Well, problem, unfortunately, it's hard to sleep in that car. I mean, it's not as comfortable as it was. It's still not comfortable for you. It's a bumpy ride a lot of times. The interstate is not always, pure silk
glass.
Well, it's
a hard ride. It's a mountaineer. It's a rough riding vehicle.
It's rough. Yeah. They don't have great suspension. No.
They're great for towing things and hauling things and four-wheeling and that sort of stuff.
So that being said, Dad was having trouble sleeping back there even. So I figured I'm going to do most of the driving from there on out. But we were actually a little worried there one time about the fuel pump. Remember that? The oil pump.
Oil pump.
Yeah. Oil Talk pump. About the oil pump, Dad.
Yeah, the little indicator started flittering all over the place.
I mean, it was just... It's just going back and forth from high to low real fast.
Yeah, and then it just died.
Then it just quit.
Yeah. So we thought, uh-oh, oil pump's out.
Then we pulled over, and we're looking at that, and we realized, well, I mean, I got some work done to that thing before I left. I took it to Firestone, put $3,000 into it.
Yeah, it was in excellent shape, actually. The problem was the oil sending unit for the oil pump was bad.
That's it.
Not actually the oil pump. So we checked the oil. It looked good.
We said, let's go.
No smoke, not overheating, so problem solved.
And basically, you're thinking, I was kind of thinking, well, this would be a good trip, you know, some quality father-son time.
Yeah.
You know, catch up on the road, but not so much. A lot, just one guy sleeping, one guy driving.
That's it.
And then when I was driving, no music because he's trying to sleep, so I had my earphones on. And when he's driving, I'm thinking, oh, we'll listen to something. No music again because he don't like it. And it's like the Terminator, just mission, you know, just go, go, go.
I want to take just a survey. Of how many people, when you get to a certain age, you can see things better with a window down. I don't know why that is, but you turn the radio off, your old wind is down. If you really want to see something, you want to know what's going on, you're going to have the wind down.
How do we do this survey? Do we go from 0 to 13, give us your answer? From 13 to 25, give us your answer? Because you said men of us, people of a certain age.
Older folks, yeah.
I imagine most people younger than 65, not an issue, but I don't know. I'm not at that age. I can't answer that question.
I would go from 50 down, probably it's not an issue, but from 50 up. You take advantage of every sensory perception your body has to offer.
So. Yeah. What sort of tidbits or advice can you give to people of how to stay awake if you're driving and you know you got maybe a couple hours more And so you can't really sleep. What do you do? Do you?
Good thing it works for me is a cup of ice.
A cup of ice?
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that.
You get a cup of ice. I mean, you can have some drink in it, but once you get down to a cup of ice, if you feel yourself nodding off a little bit, you just put some ice in your mouth.
Start chewing the ice.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to chew it. Just let it melt because if you get your head cools down and you stay awake better.
I never thought of it like that.
Chewing gum works for some people.
I did the chewing gum.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were doing the... I didn't know you were just sucking on the ice. I thought you were actually chewing the ice.
I drive a transport van for the county jail also, and on long trips, I have ridden with others who, you know, for 12 hours at a time, you have a tendency to get a little sleepy, so you swap it off. But my friends who drive this with me use chewing gum.
Right.
It works for them.
So tell me, okay, so we made this trip, and how many hours do we... Now, of drive time, if you Googled it, right, if you're MapQuest or whatever, it tells you of just purely driving, that's not getting gas, that's not getting food, that's not sleeping, is 33 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you got to factor in that's over 2,100 miles.
It's 2,181 miles.
Right. So you've got to... That's what most people would pull over and sleep, get a hotel room.
Yeah.
Right. We did this thing in 48 hours.
47.
My apologies.
There's a time zone difference.
That's right. Actually, three time zone differences. But we did it in 47 hours.
Yeah. Less than 2 days.
Yeah.
Well, we were pretty tired when we got here.
Yeah. Well, we got here, and it's, again, like you're here. It's like, all right, fun. Then we were just like, brr. I think we slept. I think we put ourselves in a coma for a good day and a half there. But we did it. We're alive. I now reside in Hickory. Let me do it right. Hickory, North Carolina, where I'm looking out the window. I can see the pool that many of you have heard that story. So I've been getting up every morning and jumping in the pool at like 7:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock.
Why do you do that? You got up at 7 o'clock.
Why don't you do that? I didn't have my own private pool this whole time.
That'll shrink your nipples up.
Well, okay. It's not actually not that cold. I thought I was doing I thought I was doing a polar bear plunge. I mean, the water's warm. Mm-hmm. It's like 96 degrees with humidity here.
Yeah, but you just woke up.
It's extra hot.
I'm not going to do it.
No, well, apparently not.
I'll do the polar plunge in
well,
January.
Well, why would you do that?
I'll do that in January.
Your nipples will shrink up.
That's a one-time thing.
Why would you
thing.
Do that?
That's a one-time thing. I'll do that just for the sake of saying I did a polar plunge.
Oh.
But I'm not going to get up every morning and dive in the pool.
Oh, it's great. You are like not taking advantage of all the great things that your house has to offer, Dad. You're too spoiled.
Okay.
You're like, you're spoiled back there with this beautiful pool. Just let it sit there. But anyway, I want to. I have a couple questions because you've driven many years. You said transport van.
Yes.
Now you have driven prisoners from court to jail, from one jail to another jail. Yep. You're driving tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
What are you doing tomorrow?
I think we're going to Pasquotank. I had a couple of guards killed there.
But that's not why you're going.
It's been in national news within the last 6 months or so, but that's as far away in North Carolina as you can drive from where we are.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, that's a six-hour trip one way.
Oh, my. So you're driving 12 hours tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Well, I'm not doing it by myself. I've got another.
You'll have some prisoners to keep you company.
Yeah. Well, just one way. And then we'll have another deputy will be with us.
Now, you've done this back in the day as well, and I think at one point you had a cassette tape that you'd play for people.
Oh, I did.
Talk about that.
Was it Jenta that made that recording?
Maybe Lori.
I forget who it was. One of my son's wives. I don't know which one it was.
Maybe it was. I don't remember.
Made a cassette. We had a Dodge van that had a cassette player in it, and you get 9 to 13 prisoners in the back of that thing, and the only thing separating between you and them is a cage, and they're very loud. Mm. They all have an opinion, and they're all mad, and they all want to ask you questions, and they're all mad at you.
Yeah.
So you tell them when you get on, you know, this is going to be a quiet trip. you know, you try.
Yeah.
But it never works out. So this particular van had a control. You could control where the sound went to. You could put it all in the back or all in the front.
Right.
So I made a cassette with all of the rules of the jail in it. It was like they she read the manual, the jail manual, and we put it on cassette. And I would turn that on and put the sound in the back and turn it wide open.
So you heard a woman's voice tell you, do not, scream obscenity.
How loud do you want this on? Do you want it loud enough that you can hear it, or do you want it where it's going to hurt all the way to where we're going? And that helped a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot who made that for you. But you had no music on it? It was just the rules.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. In my brain, it was like, I don't know why I thought this. I thought like maybe it started off with the rules, then a song would play, something very female, something very, you know, not Metallica, but maybe something like, you know, Beethoven or something.
Yep.
No. Okay. And now, also in your time, you've driven some 18-wheelers.
I have. Well, I did that when I was in high school.
Yeah. Well, that's part of your time.
That was...
Mike, on the chin.
Just barely had my driver's license and worked for a furniture company in Lincoln, and they needed someone to drive the furniture from one plant to a warehouse across town in another plant, and the only thing they had to do it in was a GMC tractor trailer.
Yeah.
And they gave me 3 days to learn how to drive it.
Oh, gosh.
In a big open parking lot.
Is that with the air brakes and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
So I did that. So I've driven that. I've driven an International Harvester Combine, all kinds of tractors, plowed. I've driven a lot of stuff. I haven't flown a plane yet.
I've not done that.
Let's do that.
Let's do that. Let's learn how to fly.
Let's do.
Okay. Well, I get my lake house. Maybe we'll invest in some sort of... some plane that's a water plane that we could take off on the lake and then go to Charlotte. That way you don't have to drive me to Charlotte. I could just fly out of Charlotte.
Just drop you off at the top of the airport.
Just push me out. See you next week, son. Float down to the airport.
Take you by the tower and drop you off.
Yeah. But I remember one story you tell me that you got a truck stuck on a hill or something.
Yeah, it was this tractor trailer that I was driving for this furniture company. The name of the furniture company was Cochran Furniture in Lincoln.
There you go. Shout out, Cochran.
And when you're 18 years old or thereabouts, I forget exactly how old I was, and you're driving a tractor trailer, it's not particularly a cool thing to do back then, but nevertheless, I wanted to drive it through town.
Oh, I wanted people to see.
I wanted to see who's downtown. And
I didn't know this part.
So I did that, and on the way back, it was pointed out to me that I shouldn't be driving that through town.
Yeah.
So I took the back streets coming back, and one of the back streets is a hill with a very steep angle.
Yeah.
And this had the type of air brakes on it that the motor had to be running for the brakes to work. So you get halfway up the hill, the motor stalls. It conks out. The battery's dead. You got your foot on the brake. Now then, it has no emergency brake that will hold this vehicle on that hill.
Oh.
So if you take your foot off the brake, you're going to lose the air, and then the brakes aren't going to work because the motor's not running. And you can't crank the motor because the battery's dead.
Oh, my God. That's a horrible design.
I was just locked there, caught in a catch.
Oh my gosh.
So
you had to sit there?
I sat there for about an hour until somebody finally came by, and I had them call the maintenance guy at the furniture company, and he came over and we scotched the truck, jumped it off, and then got it back. But it really had me sweating there for a while.
What does it mean to scotch the truck?
Put some blocks under the wheel so it won't roll.
Gotcha. Now why did it get stalled there? What was the problem going up the hill? Like it was just
somebody stopped. You're pointing uphill, and there's a stoplight at the top of the hill, and somebody stopped at the stoplight, and then they started to go, and then stopped again.
Yeah, and that ruined your timing.
And it did. you took your foot off the brake, and you hit the brake again, and then the engine dies.
Oh, okay.
So that's where we were.
And how old were you? Like 18?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine trying to drive something.
Maybe
like that.
Maybe
19. 36? I couldn't imagine.
It was scary there for a while.
Yeah. My goodness. And we came, that's why I knew that you were the man for this job. All this road experience that you've had. I mean, even like back when I was a kid, we'd go, we'd go up to the mountains of Appalachian Mountains, Blue Ridge, and Dad had a truck, like a regular truck, You know, and he had, what was those little camper tops that you put on there, right?
Yeah.
And you made a bed. Like, I think you took a piece of plywood and some foam and some fabric and stapled it, and you made like a little padded bed in the back.
I did.
And then you made another bed, like a bunk bed, to go all over top of that one, perpendicular, for like a kid or something for me and Jason.
Short people can sleep from side to side, and and adults had to sleep
long ways. Yeah, and we'd go up to the mountains and we'd camp out in that thing. So Dad's a genius. It was his idea to get the trailer. It was his expertise that got us back here. And lo and behold, here I am today, a new Hickory, North Carolina resident. Once again, have not lived here in 26 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're back.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
Are you sure?
I really am. Okay. I really am.
Good.
Because when me and your mama get older and get immobile, somebody's going to have to wipe my butt, and it's going to be you.
Well, I figured I'd be here to help pay someone to do that. That's kind of how I was looking at it. It's a perfect storm of everything is why I left.
Yep.
You know, people have been asking, why'd you leave? In fact, you didn't know until I went up to meet with that judge that you wanted me to meet to where you work, courthouse, because she asked me.
Right.
And you're like, well, why did you leave? I was like, oh, yeah, this 48 hours of driving, we didn't even talk about that.
Well, we didn't have time.
Yeah, we were focused, sleeping and driving. Perfect storm of things. Number one, I'm already sort of, okay, I've not lived here in 26 years, okay? I actually do miss my family. You know, a lot of comedians think that's a weird idea. But I actually love my family, and I miss them.
I think he really does.
Yeah, and I've been gone. I've already missed out on a bunch of stuff. And I don't like that, and I don't want it to continue. And in fact, one of the driving forces, I guess you could say, to this decision, it was Shannon Franklin's dad passed away.
Joey Franklin.
We were at a funeral at West Hickory Baptist Church.
We could do another whole show on this. Joey was a very beloved member of our church and our youth group growing up. And
well, I'm not going to do a whole episode on Joey.
He turned into Santa Claus.
Yeah. He used to take me fishing. I was a member of the RAs in church. Anyway. But how old do you think he was?
Joey? He was
younger than you.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, not much. He was 70.
Yeah, younger than you.
Yeah.
And here I am sitting in this church watching Shannon, a girl my age, maybe a little younger, trying to give a eulogy of her dad. And I can't keep it straight. I'm just bawling.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at her, looking at him, looking at you, looking at mom, thinking, I don't know how much more. I got to get back here. I've already missed too much. I don't want to miss one more day. So that was the number one motivator, was coming back here and looking, just being with my family again. Also, luckily, I'm already established in Los Angeles. I've been out there. So I moved there in 18 years. So I've paid my dues. I have agents and managers that get me auditions. A lot of the auditions that I go on, I'm already on the road because I'm doing stand-up 90% of the time. So I will just record myself and email it to them, and I've gotten parts that way. So it doesn't matter where I live, and I can still do this job. And also, the housing market was pretty hot.
Yeah.
I actually made money selling my house. The only thing keeping me in Los Angeles was Kyle. Other than that, I didn't really have to do anything. Kyle and Shannon and just a small group of friends. But really, I was gone so much that I was even visiting when I lived there, to be honest with you. So I thought, I can do that anywhere. I'm going to come on back to Hickory and get that lake house I've always dreamed of and be with the family. And that's it. That's the perfect storm of everything. And now here we are. And now we just sit and wait for the housing market to drop.
Yep.
And then I can, you know.
Or for me and your mom to drop, and you can have this one.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping the first one happens quicker.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But there you go, folks. Any parting words of wisdom or fun things you want to say to my audience now?
Yeah, just always remember, wherever you go, there you be.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. Bicycle, popsicle.
Bye, y'all.
There you have it, folks. Could have done it with one David Reap in my life. I appreciate that. Thanks for listening, you guys. Now it's time to plug some tour dates. That's right. Come check me out, by the way, on johnreap.com. Okay? Like if you forget this, you could just go to your web browser, type in JONREEP.com, and then the tour dates are right there. But the next one is going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Carolina. No, I'm sorry. At the well, I read that wrong. At the Comedy Zone in Charlotte, North Carolina, September 27 through 29. Come see me. I'm also recording a new album that Saturday, the 29th. So if you want to hear yourself laugh, you can come there and laugh in a weird way or something, and you can hear yourself later. And then on the 30th, I'll be in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And like I said, all these tour dates are at johnreep.com. And then in October, I'm back at it. The road, I'm going to be in New York, Syracuse, New York, at the Funny Bone, October 4 through 7. And then October 11 through 14, I'll be at the Dayton Funny Bone. But like I said, all these dates can be found at johnreep.com. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe and share to our podcast. We're nothing without you, and we know it. Please, and also, let me know you're listening. I don't even know who's listening. I'm afraid to ask the people at All Things Comedy. So it would be nice if you were to tweet me at John Reap or Instagram or Facebook or email me, whatever. Let me know that you're listening and you like it, and then maybe what you don't like. Maybe we'll fix it. But anyway, I'm John Reap, and you've been listening to The Fried Pod.
And the radio up, I'd like to see sunrise. See the love in my woman's eyes. Feel the touch of my precious child. And no man